What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher, and this week we got a pretty jam-packed episode. Just got finished wrapping up watching the Tennessee-Baylor game. First full weekend of Tennessee baseball. Had a good couple of basketball games against some, if we're being honest, some lesser-than opponents. But we're just going to jump right in. And let me preface by saying this, a lot of this is going to be dominated by baseball talk probably, especially on this episode, because there's really just not much to hash out with basketball. So not to come across that I forgot about basketball or anything, but there's a lot more to unpack with a baseball team and their opening weekend, because Tennessee hoops, really, we could summarize it with just this. Is just that they went to Arkansas, took care of business, they came back home, beat little brother, took care of business. I mean, both games, realistically, they played two lesser-than opponents. They got another lesser-than opponent coming up with Missouri. And then really the game that we're looking ahead to is Texas A&M to get the revenge game. Got Texas A&M back at home, and playing some lesser-than opponents kind of gives you a chance to recoup and get ready for that big game. So no reason that Tennessee shouldn't go with just the one loss to A&M since that last, big stretch until Auburn comes to town. So some meaningful games coming up, but at the same time, too, it's just get through it, take care of business, and we'll be good to go. But Tennessee started the midweek playing Arkansas. They finished that one 92-63. Your points leader was actually Jonas Adu with 23 points. It was a game that he dominated inside the paint. Arkansas was just, they had it close early in the game, but outside of that, Tennessee really pulled away in that second half. It was a super impressive game. It's just one of those that everything that happened, you just kind of expected. Don Connect finished with 22 points, Ziegler 9, Vescovi 4, James 12. But the big key there was Ganey coming off the bench and getting 17. That was great to see. You got to see a couple guys get some minutes, and it's always good to get some of the guys that normally don't get to play as much some minutes and get on the floor, get some experience. But that was one that, Arkansas's crowd, they started really heavily. They were into that game early, and they were loud. And, that's a place that Tennessee has struggled in the past to play in Bud Walton Arena. But Tennessee, they took care of business, and that was that with that one. Moving on from that, Tennessee came back home, played Vanderbilt, ended up beating them 88-53, and that was a game that the Vols largely dominated. They really didn't have to rely on too much. Don Connect had 14, and it was a game that they didn't really have to have anything crazy by any one person. Everyone kind of shared the ball and got their fill in different ways. You had Adu with 11 points, 8 rebounds. Connect with 14, Ziegler with 14, Vescovi with 12. And it was good to see him kind of get back into action. 4-for-5 from 3. James was 13 points. It was good to see them kind of getting back in the rhythm, shooting really good from deep. Connect kind of had a rough night shooting from deep, but again, it was a game where all of your typical starters were really only playing barely above 20 minutes. So really that second half was pretty much Awaka and Cade Phillips, DeLeon, Cam Carr got in there a good bit, Ganey, Mayshak. But you didn't really have to have anybody crazy coming in. Just take care of business and get out of there with a win. And I think that's going to be probably the style that the game that we're going to see with Missouri coming up too. Not to look past it, because Missouri can be tough, but if we're being honest, they're the worst team in the SEC. It's just they don't really have a lot to play for at this point in time. It's definitely one that Tennessee, you don't want to look past them. You don't want to sleep on those guys, because, all it takes is one team just to be pissed off, and you just be missing while they're striking hot, and it come back to bite you. So you definitely can't take a loss there, but I definitely can't envision that happening. I'm sure that'll be a good win. And then the big thing to keep an eye on is going to be this weekend, where they take on the Aggies. Kind of a revenge game for Tennessee. you know, the way A&M's been playing, they're kind of all over the place. You know, it's when Tennessee was in College Station, it's the A&M show, and they're just shooting lights out. And, you know, then you transition to – I was watching the Alabama A&M basketball game this past weekend, and A&M was – I believe it was some point in the second half, the commentator said that A&M was like 2-for-18 from three. And just that's – you don't know what you're going to get. And typically that's – A&M's not known for shooting super well beyond the perimeter. So as long as they get a normal, you know, A&M team, it's a team that Tennessee should be able to handle. And I'm sure kind of after that stinging loss, I think Tennessee will be ready and kind of amped up to play. Keep an eye on in the rankings, too, because Tennessee may be moving up a couple spots. A couple upsets happened. Purdue lost today. And, you know, not that the rankings aren't hugely important, but, you know, Tennessee, if they, you know, make some really impressive wins down the stretch here, Tennessee has a chance to still finish as a one seed. I mean, it's not super likely, but with a little help from the outside, you know, Tennessee could advance and potentially get a one seed. And the reason that's important is just because you want the best seeding possible to potentially have a deep run in the tournament. And I'm sure one way or another, Tennessee is probably going to find a way to get the least optimal seeding for a high seed placement. You know, typically, you know, like last year, you end up having to play Duke, and I think it was the second round. It's just it typically is not super favorable for Tennessee. But even when times where they have had favorable matchups, they've not done well. So I don't think it really matters a whole lot who they play. I think Tennessee can play with anybody. But really moving down the stretch here, it's just, you know, just finish out the season as clean as possible. Just get ready for March is kind of where we're at now there. But definitely all eyes are going to be on Tennessee basketball on Saturday as we look to get revenge over the Aggies. And, you know, not to undermine that, but, it is a big game, but it is one that I do believe they should win and that they will take care of business probably pretty easily. So, yeah, that kind of I know that it's not really a lot to talk about because they just took care of business, but – a lot to unpack with baseball, so we'll just jump right into that next. Tennessee took on three different teams in the College Shriners Classic this weekend, presented on Flow Sports. A lot of Tennessee fans were introduced to that for the first time. A lot of people were trying to find loopholes to get around watching it, and it was a big fuss. And I got to be honest, I didn't expect to see we've already got a war going against the NCAA, and now it seems like a lot of Tennessee fans got another war going against Flow Sports for a $30 a month, you know, just to be able to watch your team over the weekend. I paid the $30 because I really wasn't that concerned about it. All I knew is I wanted to watch the Vols play, and, you know, it didn't disappoint. We saw some really good things at times, some not-so-great things, a lot to unpack, but overall, a good weekend, and I mean, Tennessee walked out as the, by run differential, they walked out as the Shriners champion. Even though they were 2-1, they walked out as the champion over that tournament. So that's, you know, a little sticker you can put on your helmet, you know. Tennessee in game one played Texas Tech, where they ended up winning 6-2. That was a game that was largely dominated by pitching. You saw a little bit of offense there, but mostly, you know, the big thing with that game was A.J. Russell was more than impressive. He did give up the two earned runs when in his last outing there, but A.J. Causey, I want to say Causey so bad, I don't know why, A.J. Causey came in and he just dominated when he came in too. The two racked up 17 strikeouts between the two of them, and that was the only arms that Tennessee needed to knock off the Red Raiders. So some good things, some not so great things. Blake Burke was 0-for-5. I think that was something that people were a little bit surprised about. Hunter Inslee had a hit. Simo had two hits. Peebles had a hit. Billy Amick had the two-run homer, which got Tennessee's first points there early in the game. Dylan Dreiling was 1-for-4. Later was pinch hit with Reese Chapman. Robin Villeneuve DH'd, and He had a really good game, I thought. And, you know, I know that they want to get Dalton Bargo some experience too, because he's a super solid player, and we saw some of that today. But Robin Villeneuve had a really good game. Got a good at-bat, got on base. I believe it was a single. And then got walked his second time up. So both times he was at the plate, he reached the base. Kaveris Tiers was 0 for 3. And Brad Keelowry was 0 for 2. And again, you got to remember with Lowry, he is a solid player. And just for a depth piece, that's awesome to have. But he will not be the everyday second baseman. I would imagine that Christian Moore is going to eventually roll back to second base, and that Ariel Antigua will probably pick up that shortstop role after Christian Moore is able to go back and Ariel Antigua gets healthy again. And then you also got Dean Curley that could be an option at shortstop. So it's just it speaks to Tennessee's depth at that position now versus where they were last year, because behind Mally Acuña, you had Austin Jaslov, which, for being honest, was not the most optimal option there, and that was about it. So especially with the early issues with Mally Acuña getting on with the transfer portal issues and whatnot, that was largely impactful to Tennessee's early stagnant issues in the season. And then it takes even longer for Mally Acuña to get more acclimated to the team, and it was a big old mess. But much better starting position now, and having a lot of depth at that position. And Christian Moore has been able to roll in and fill that spot in shortstop really well. I've been impressed with what he's done. But yeah, Billy Amick had the two-run homer. Not a huge offensive game, but you know, Tennessee played a little small ball in there too to get it 6 runs. In the fourth, they had the 3 runs. In the eighth, they had the other 3 runs. And in the fifth, where they had the pitching change from A.J. Russell to A.J. Causey, was the only 2 runs that they gave up to Texas Tech. Finished the game with 8 hits overall, the homer, and 12 total bases. So it was a pretty solid outing. But again, the big story of that one was just a lot of people didn't really know what to expect from A.J. Russell. And I think we got a really solid arm and a guy that a lot of people are going to be, you know, completely comfortable with him being the Friday guy. Moving on to day two, things did not go as planned for Tennessee. They, you know, largely were in control of that game. If not for some of the issues with the at-bats, it was an odd game. It was one that Tennessee was in position to win. Multiple times they could have put that one away, because it was tied at 1-1. Both teams scored in the fourth inning, and then after that, Oklahoma's 4 runs did not come until the top of the 10th inning in the extra innings, and Oklahoma went on to win that game 5-1. Tennessee's lone run came off of the absolute nuke that Dylan Dreiling just smoked out of the park, but it was just a low hit night, just a game that Tennessee couldn't get hits, but when they did, they could not get runners in scoring position home. They were 0 for 8 at bats with runners in scoring position, so just not great. Saw a few more arms than what we were used to seeing from Tennessee, some good, some bad. Drew Beam was giving up a couple hits, but he only had 1 earned run in that time, so it's important to keep that in mind too. He did put Marcus Phillips, that came in, into a kind of a tough spot, but you know, they were able to get out of that. Marcus Phillips had 2 walks and 1 strikeout. Beam only had 2 strikeouts. You know, he'll get into rhythm as he goes on, but still not a bad outing. Chris Thamos has been awesome. He pitched an inning. Aaron Combs came in after that, pitched 2.1 innings, allowed 1 hit, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, and had 4 strikeouts. And all that came in the extra innings. And then Tennessee just kind of got into a pickle, went to freshman Matthew Dallas, and he could not get a whole lot done. Then they turned it over to Derek Schaefer, the freshman that they're really excited about. And it just wasn't going great from there. And the one thing, I do think they could have pulled Aaron Combs a little bit sooner than what they did. But if you look at the play where they started giving up the lead, that first play where they gave up the lead, Aaron Combs could have been pulled before then. But at the same time, Dylan Dreiling had a chance to catch a ball in the outfield that just went right past his glove. So it was just one of those games that it wasn't going good for Tennessee, not getting a lot of hits. Ansley was 2 for 5. Blake Burke was 1 for 5. Christian Moore was 2 for 4. Cannon Peebles 0 for 4. Billy Yamick 0 for 5. Dylan Dreiling 2 for 4 with the homer. Cal Stark 0 for 3. Was later pinch hitted by Dalton Bargo, and then they put in Charlie Taylor behind the dish after that. Reese Chapman 0 for 2, and Bradkey Lowry 0 for 3. So, as you can see, just not a big hitting night for the Vols. And when they did get positioned to score, just couldn't capitalize. I mean, that was the real issue. They got it corrected tonight as they went to play Baylor. But it's something that hopefully they'll be able to consistently be able to provide. And this lineup is so deep that I see no reason why they shouldn't be able to. And there's plenty of time to keep working on it, iron out the kinks before they get into conference play. So I don't think it's anything to overreact about. But it definitely, I can see how it was a little bit frustrating to watch at times. But overall, you know, not the worst outcome. You know, realistically, Oklahoma had to take you, a solid team had to take you to extra innings on a game where you were just playing awful to beat you. So it is what it is. That was just kind of one of those, it is what it is. You just got to let it go. So moving on from that, Tennessee next played Baylor on Sunday night, and that was a super solid game. Tennessee ended up finishing that one off 11-5. And you're talking about a game that, you know, you're coming off of very surprising, just poor hitting performance from Tennessee against Oklahoma. They just were just lights out. They could not miss tonight. They did leave runners in scoring position a few times tonight, and I do think that still is an issue that does need to be worked out a little bit. But overall, I mean, you don't really have a lot to complain about. You had the home run from Kavarius Tears early. That gave Tennessee an early lead. Xander Sechrist was the starter. He came in, struggled a little bit early on in the game. But, you know, that was also one of those that just it just you don't know what you're going to get from Xander Sechrist. And the more that he plays, maybe it'll be better for him. But it's really his first time coming in as a true starter and trying to really take the reins because, you know, he's always been he's a senior. He's always been a midweek starter, and even at that, he's not started for, you know, typical normal starting pitchers lengthwise. It's, you know, he's facing subpar teams, if we're being honest, and he's not had to really take that starting mantle very seriously. So I hope the best for him, but Nate Snead came in after him. He did have a couple times where he got into some struggles, but he was also able to work out of them too. And any guy that you got that can hit triple digits up there, he hit 100 a couple times. It's going to be hard to keep him away from the mound. So I really like Nate Snead as, you know, in a position to be the Friday starter. One argument against him is that, you know, you probably want one guy to be your, you know, a lefty in your starting lineup. But if you got enough guys coming out of the bullpen that are really good, you may not need Nate Snead to go super deep into games, and you can bring a lefty in to really, you know, trick some people. Especially if, you know, say you get into a weekend series, you could have a guy like A.J. Russell go super deep, not have to unload the bullpen. Drew Beam, he's more than capable of doing the same. And then you got a bunch of lefties that you got to choose from coming out of the bullpen. You know, Sechrist, at that point, maybe he comes out of the pen and he looks a little bit better. You know, maybe then you got some of your other guys, too, coming out. Like I've heard the argument of Wyatt Evans potentially being a starter on Sundays. And that's fine if he can find his rhythm, but he's not been able to get into that rhythm. So pitching was struggled early, but finished out after the third inning, scoreless for Baylor, and they got it done. Tennessee scored from the second all the way through the seventh inning, at least one run per inning. Was a little bit quiet later on. Christian Moore had a really solid game. Ansley struggled. He was 0 for 6. Dylan Dreiling, you know, he faced a lefty every at-bat, so it's hard to blame him, but he was all right. Christian Moore, like I said, really solid game. Blake Burke looked a little bit better, being buried in the lineup a little bit further. I just think he is a little bit more comfortable hitting there. Billy Amick hit another home run. And, you know, he's a ball player, man. He's quick. He's solid third baseman. I forgot to shout out that he made a really solid play at third base defensively against Oklahoma. And also shout out to Cal Stark, too. I forgot to mention that. He was really good behind the dish. And, you know, he might be a guy, his playing time might be a little bit more limited to, you know, maybe one day per weekend. And Cannon Peoples may take that because Cannon Peoples' bat's just too good to keep him away. But Cal Stark, you know, he's a guy that he's going to get his time behind the plate just because of how skilled he is back there. And he put that on full display against Oklahoma. So shout out to Cal. Robin Villeneuve got the pinch hit later on in the game. He was able to get on base. Dalton Bargo was okay. Gavarys Tears, like I said, hit the homer. And he was just literally 1 foot away from hitting another second home run. But overall, really solid game. Obviously scored 11 runs. You just, you know, you don't want to dive too deep into stuff like this early in the season. You know, it's the first weekend, not even playing at home, not playing conference opponents. But, you know, the coaches at the Shriners Classic said it best. They said, you know, this is the closest you're going to get to a regional atmosphere, you know, aside from the fans being there. But as far as just teams and competition-wise and the way that they're playing, it's going to be different later in the season. But, you know, that's going to be the type of ball games that you're playing in. So Tennessee finished off really, really solid. Like I said, they finished out being the, you know, the tournament champion by default. And, you know, really solid weekend. I mean, would have loved to get that win when they had a chance in the bottom of the ninth to beat Oklahoma. But it was one of those, just wasn't their night. So no reason to overreact. They put on full display what they can do, how special some of these guys are, and some of the impact transfers like Billy Amick, Cannon Peoples is going to be great. Christian Moore is just – he's remaining steady, really solid hitter. Gavarys Tears put on display his power. So, and some of those long balls, too, are going to be out in Lindsey Nelson Stadium because Texas, the Rangers, have got a deep ballpark. So expect to see a little bit more fireworks when they get back home. Got a pretty decently easy week coming up on Tuesday, playing a no-name team. I believe it's UNC Asheville. Wednesday, they're playing ETSU. Got a little bit more firepower to them. Still a team that Tennessee should be able to take care of as they prepare for a weekend series against Albany State. But it's nice. It's going to be nice to be home for them after being away, kind of get settled in and maybe tinker with the lineup a little bit more. But I think they found a rotation tonight that they like a little bit better. And you got multiple guys that can slide in and play. You know, Dalton Bargo can be your DH-er, or it could be Robin Villeneuve. You know, you got multiple guys that can play there. You got Cal Stark that can catch. And Cannon Peoples is showing that he's got skill behind the dish too. Solid bat. You know, you got Reese Chapman that can play in the outfield if need be. Gavarys Tears probably made a pretty strong case for him just by putting display his power. Hunter Ensley put a pretty good display of defense in the center field position. Although his bat struggled a little bit, he did have a really solid defense. And Dylan Dreiling, you know, he showed his power. He was faced with some tough pitchers tonight. Lefty on lefty is never fun, but made some really good plays defensively this weekend. So look forward to see what they do coming forward. Should be a full-on week of winning for Tennessee as they play a lot of teams that just are not going to be able to compete with them more than likely. But, you know, you never know. Look at Florida. They ended up having to cancel their last two games, so they're actually going to start their season out 0-1. They lost to St. John's at home. I saw that Vanderbilt also lost to Florida Atlantic in the midweek. Or in the middle game on Saturday, although they did regroup, you know. But there was other teams, too, that struggled a little bit. Arkansas lost today. LSU struggled a little bit at times. Today they looked just insane. But, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. So always come prepared no matter who your opponent is. Don't think that's going to be an issue with this squad. They seem to be mature, ready to go. There's a little bit of fire under them too. I'd like to see them kind of get back to those roots of that, you know, that 2022 team, just fiery and kind of have that villain role, that villain mentality. We don't want to be liked. We just want to be good ball players. So, but really looking forward to seeing them play. So, probably not the most exciting week in terms of opponents and level of competition. The highlight will definitely be Tennessee versus Texas A&M men's basketball revenge game coming up. But also excited to see how they tinker with the lineup, if any changes are made, what they do with the weekend rotation, the starting pitchers. And we will find that out all soon going forward. Appreciate you guys tuning into this episode. We will have, you know, another update next week, kind of reviewing and then also previewing the next week as well. We'll try to get through it as fast as possible. We'll have another week just jam-packed, a lot to unpack, but we will get it done. So appreciate you guys tuning in. If you haven't already, you can follow me on social media. Instagram is at Big Orange Buzz. Twitter is at Big Orange Buzz _. Shoot me a message. We can talk sports, you know, any questions, whatever else. We can just chit-chat. You know, if you like baseball, if you're new to it, whatever else, shoot me a message. Be glad to talk to you. But until then, we'll see you guys on the next episode. And as always, go Vols.